Welcome to this meeting of Stafford Council's Planning Committee. We're in a slightly different format than normal, but no doubt we will cope with it. My name is Gareth Jones and I'll be chairing this meeting. Can I ask before we start that if you've got a mobile phone, can you please put it on silent mode? Can I also ask any members of the public who are present from commenting during the proceedings? On my right, I've got officers from the Law and Administration Department. We've got Lee Coleridge, who's the solicitor, and Andrew Bailey, who's the committee clerk. On my left, I've got members of the planning department, initially Simon Manley, who is the senior person in the department. I've also got to his left Jessica Alsop, who is a senior planning officer, who will be presenting the applications. And to her left, we've got Leanne Hobson, who's a lead officer and who's recently joined the department and who is familiarising herself with how we conduct these matters. Officers at the outset, officers from the planning department will present each application separately as it appears on the agenda. There are two of them this evening. Members of the public who have indicated they wish to speak will be given 3 minutes, and there's a table provided for that, and I'll indicate when there's a minute left so that people have a chance to sum up. Ward members are entitled to speak for 5 minutes. An audio recording has been taken of this meeting, which will be published on the council's website. Members of the committee, as usual, are reminded that they do not enjoy any immunity as enjoyed by their colleagues in Parliament. In considering these applications, members may only deal with applications in accordance with the National Planning Policy Framework and the local plan. So we now move on to the agenda. The minutes of the last meeting?
Non-submitted, Chair.
Apologies?
Apologies from Councillor Pardesi, who's substituted by Councillor Godfrey, and from Councillor Beattie.
Thank you. Are there any members who wish to declare any interest or lobbying that will have taken place? Thank you.
Thank you, sorry.
I've been lobbied on the second afternoon, Chair.
Yes. And any detailed delegated application will be circulated separately to members related to those. Right, we go now to the first item, which is 21/33760, land north of Kingsford Brook, Radmore Lane, Knowsall. And this application has been called in by Councillor R.M. Smith. So can we start with this one then, please? Jessica?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. The location plan on the screen shows the extent of the site outline in red. The application relates to a site located within the existing paddock plan north of Kingsford Brook and southwest of Radmore Lane. The image on the screen shows an aerial photo of the site. The site is surrounded by open agricultural land, much of which is used for grazing, and there is evidence of equestrian activity on land in the near vicinity, including stables on the east on the opposite side of the lane. There are scattered farmsteads and some sporadic housing along the lane. Image 1 is a general application site that shows where the stables would be sited. In page 2 shows the general applications like whether or not it's cited. Plan 1 shows the proposed site plan with detail where access, stables and barn will be cited. And plan 2 shows the proposed stable building. Plan 3 shows the proposed garage. And plan 4 shows the proposed access. And then finally, plan 5 shows the removal, plan 3 and the removal and the plan 2. These are planned in the open countryside for pasture activities, including the creation of a marsh or erection of stables, constitute recreational uses of road breaks in a rural location, which is supported by the closing eating of the farm of Santa Fe. The surrounding area is characterised by agricultural grazing land and is already featured.
Sorry, we have an objector who's Miss Melanie Jasper. Is she here?
Yes.
Would you like to come to the table, please?
Registered, including Fulton Parish Council, Grid and the Green Party, Rabble Lane is a narrow, winding, single-track lane with a not suitable for HGV restriction. Housing is not sporadic. There are 26 dwellings. The site is 3.3 hectares, yet the application is for just under 1 hectare. This is to deliberately mislead and avoid a flood risk assessment. The planning report states the site is a SCC flooding hotspot. Environmental Agency clearly states sites under 1 hectare with flooding due to surface water and drains requires an assessment. This has not been done. Drainage from the menage and stables, together with the removal of hedging and large hedge banks, will exacerbate the existing flooding, causing more misery for residents. The report states the applicant will capture the water and redirect to where? Humersford Brook, which already overflows onto the road regularly, causing driving hazards. It cannot cope with existing rainfall and soakaways. This is in direct conflict with policy N2, should not worsen the potential for flooding. The culvert and drains mentioned have been unblocked recently, but this has not eased the flooding. The menage is to be located adjacent to Humersford Brook with a surface of aquifer. Strict regulations RPS245.uk state waste carpet fibres cannot be used within 50 metres of the watercourse. This regulatory position defines waste carpet as fibres and offcuts from new carpets. Equifiber is made from new carpet. Objectors have contacted menage specialists in Equifiber who can confirm a menage cannot be built within 50 metres of the watercourse due to these strict new regulations. The visibility splays will require the entire 62-metre eastern hedge to be removed. This hedge is over 80 years old and protected under Hedgerows Regulations 97. Regulation 5.3 states the LPA are required to consult the parish council before removing their protected hedge. They have not been consulted. It states unless removal is justified, the authority must refuse permission. Is it justified for stables? This also contravenes policy N2, duty to protect wildlife, and does not comply with the NPPF. The hedge is a defining characteristic of this pretty rural lane. Its removal will ensure the development is not screened at all from residents. The applicant refers to traffic movements being unchanged, yet proposes to widen the road for their own horse boxes and trailers. This is excessive for pet horses. The applicants live in Stone. They have already advertised the land for grazing. It points to commercial use. Several planning documents submitted are in the name Denny. Scott Denny is a manager in Stafford Highways and son-in-law of the applicants. At no time has he or the applicant declared an interest in this application. A complaint was lodged last year
Your
to John Holmes,
nearly
lead planning officer, to raise grave concerns of a conflict of interest. Despite many requests, highway reports were only published on the planning portal after a Freedom of Information request was made by residents. This should be public information. To summarise, we believe the misrepresentations have severely impacted upon consultation decisions and ask you please to reject this application. Thank you.
Thank you.
Smith for reasons upon highway access, safety and visibility. There have been a number of objections, but the last 2 years the applicant has engaged consultants as appropriate to specifically address and provide qualified reports on the matters raised. I would reiterate that the application has not been reviewed previously, but there was an objection from County Highways based upon the original access proposals where we actually sought to utilise an existing access first. This has now been changed and the applicant engaged a highways and consultant engineer to design an appropriately located access point as part of the proposals. To inform the design and ensure the appropriate splays, the consultant carried out vehicle speed surveys. The visibility for the access point is therefore based upon traffic data for the specific site and use of Bradmore Lane. This is combined with the fact that the proposal is for private use by the applicant's family and this can be secured by condition, ensuring no commercial or business use of the site. Overall county highways as a consultee raise no objection to the proposal subject to the recommended conditions to be applied to any permission granted. With regards to other concerns raised, I would confirm Natural England have now confirmed no objection to the proposals and that the applicant commissioned a full habitats risk assessment as well as a construction environment management plan, which were accepted by Natural England, demonstrating no concern or risk to the aquilibram near Ramsar site. The proposal has been considered as one which doesn't require a flood risk assessment, and the lead local flood authority, who wouldn't normally be consulted on development of this nature, have nonetheless consulted and confirmed no objections to the proposal in terms of flood risk. The Parish Council raised no objections, and the Environmental Health, as a consultee, have also confirmed they do not consider the proposal to harm neighbouring residential amenity. To conclude, the field is a field where grass has been historically grazed. In terms of noise and general disturbance, council officers have specifically noted that street view images dating from May and July 2011 show horses and grazing and horse jumps on site, and horses were grazing at the time of the case officer's visit. It's therefore surmised by the council that the land upon which the arena would be constructed is already used for equestrian purposes, and as such no change of use would occur. The overall change of use construction of stabling and an arena is noted by officers to be an appropriate rural use that would not conflict with surrounding land uses. The proposal would have an appropriate visual impact, be characteristic of the rural area where there is existing equestrian use in the vicinity, has been noted this evening. It would not harm residential amenity or result in highway safety implications, nor impact upon wildlife or protected species, having gone through very extensive consultation with commissioning reports for the last 2 years.
Thank you. When I, during my preamble, I did ask that there weren't any acclamation or calling out, etc. And I repeat that I asked people not to do it. Sorry, thank you. In my introduction, I did ask that people did not indulge in acclamation or any interruption to the speaker. And I could repeat that request, please. I now ask board members if they wish to speak. I think Mike Smith wants to speak.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. Before I start my 5 minutes, I would like to draw the committee's attention to a significant error. At the top of page 5, in the first paragraph, it tells you the size of the building is 17 metres. If you might have put the drawing up that you showed at the beginning of the presentation, you'll see that is significantly incorrect.
Yes, Joe, looking at the size, one part of it is 17 metres, you have to forgive me, it's a very small scale here, and then it's got a further 4.2 metres of, it's an open-fronted wash area.
Yes, Chairman, there's five buildings, and the total is 21.35. In other words, it's 25% larger than the planning officer had in his mind when he wrote his report of rejection.
Okay. Well, can you research?
Yes, I'll start my 5 minutes. Thank you very much, Chairman.
Yeah.
The basic rule of any planning application is it must be sustainable. How can a stable block with four horses be sustainable when the applicants live 14 miles away? Many horse owners turn up three or four times a day to tend their horses. And as soon as this building is erected, there will be a caravan on site. There will be a need for people to brew up, for people to go to the toilet. Furthermore, if you're coming from 14 miles away, where are you going to store your hay? Where are you going to, where's the tap room? These will be the next applications. This is an application to create a new farmstead. If you own more than 8 acres, why would you want to build a stable block close to the only house which faces any of your land? I'll tell you why. Because the future application for a house needs to be on the higher ground, away from the flooding area. So why is there no flood risk assessment? Well, you don't need one for 1 hectare. But wait a minute, at the top of page 6, it says you need 1 hectare per horse. And there are 4 horses. So why doesn't the application, isn't the application to change the whole site to equestrian use rather than just 1 hectare? Furthermore, on this point, on page 4, under context, it tells you there's an existing gate in the northern corner. But Chairman, that northern corner is not shown in the application area. So how can that be gate, that gate be part of this application? It's not included for change of use. Let us now turn to key considerations towards the bottom of page 5, where it says erection of stables is appropriate for rural location in accordance with policy E2. Then it says, subject to other provisions, A to F being satisfied. A says you should use existing buildings. B says if you're going to build something new, you should build it next to an existing farmstead. This is the whole point. There is no existing farmstead. This is an application to sow seeds to create one. D says it should protect and respect the local landscape. To be blunt, if you live at Ivy Cottage, it's none of those things, it's in your face. I originally called this in on the highways ground, and I was right. It's taken 2 years to get to this point, and several access points are being considered and rejected. We now have an access point based on the applicant's own traffic speed survey, which showed speeds of around 30 miles an hour. The monitor was placed outside Ivy Cottage, almost on a bend, not where the access is shown. If the county ever get round to dealing with the flooding and the potholes, then I'm guaranteed the average speed will increase above the 30 mile an hour and the proposed visibility displays will be wholly inadequate. What is very disturbing about this, on a particular day, the main objector confronted someone measuring up and asked what he was doing. He said, the county have sent me to find a suitable access point. In all my 21 years, men and members on this council, I have never known the county council to actually go on site and find a solution for an applicant. In any event, the solution is contrived because the road speeds are wrong, the displays are inefficient, and besides that, there are 2 telegraph poles, one of which you can see on your picture, and they will have to be moved. Finally, Chairman, there's the menage itself. We've heard about this twice. 2 weeks ago, I was told that the surface contains shredded carpet, which is illegal within 50 metres of a watercourse. The watercourse feeds Aqualet Mere 1.8 miles away, a Ramsar site. The planning officer admitted he had no knowledge of this surface of menages and went back to the agent, who promptly responded saying it's not waste carpet but new carpet, presumably from offcuts. That is still not allowed. If you read the regulation under the Environment Agency document, RPS 248 of the 1st of July 2021, it will tell you that. You cannot use it. So, members, I'll give you the reasons for refusal. A, it's not sustainable. B, it fails to comply with policy E2 because it's not close to an existing farmstead. It's trying to create a new one. C, the visibility displays on the highway are not sufficient for the normal traffic speeds. D, the proposed service of the menage is not in compliance with the Environment Agency requirements. And E, the whole site should be included as change of use and a flood risk assessment be provided. Thank you, Chairman.
Councillor Parrington, do you wish to speak?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sometimes a few words is better than many, and it appears as if it's one of those occasions this evening. The way in which both Councillor Smith and the objector summarised all of the issues quite succinctly and with such passion I suggest to you is more than adequate, both in relation to curious things like the relationship between the officer at the county and the mention by Councillor Smith of the conversation had on site. These are things that just simply do not happen in the ordinary course, and therefore, Mr. Chairman, this stinks for that reason. The supporter suggested that there was no objection from the Parish Council. I think, with the greatest of respect, Mr. Chairman, at the commencement of this application, it was made very clear that Fulton Parish Council did in fact object, and clearly this is within the parish of Fulton. I don't demur from anything that Councillor Smith has said. He presented an excellent argument, and I rest at that point, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, we've heard the supporter, we've heard the opponent, and we've heard the ward member.
Can't get used to this.
We've heard the three presentations. I open the matter now to councillors for their comments. Councillor Trowbridge.
Chairman, I've just got a couple of questions of the officer, if that's all right. Listening to both the supporters and the objectors, what Councillor Smith stated, the one that hit me the most was the existing farmstead not being in place. Is that correct? Is this for a stable that isn't connected to a farm?
Yes, it doesn't have a farm. It's just an application for a stable menage.
Well, then it's very clear to me that it doesn't comply with policy E2, because it clearly states on policy E2 that it needs to, all of those need to be in place. And if it's not, if there isn't an existing farmstead there, it's a very simple reject. It states policy E2. Identifying the SP3 outside the green belt, which it is. To make it sustainable, which again is a word that Councillor Smith stated. B. Will relate to an existing farmstead or group of buildings or be located close to an established settlement, except where there is an agricultural or other justification for use in a specific location. But if you read that, if the applicant lives in Stone, this isn't connected at all. This isn't connected. I would say, quite happily, that even before anyone else speaks, that I would reject this happily on E2B. It's not next to an existing farmstead.
I'll second that, Chairman.
I would like to also add, sorry, that it isn't, that makes it not sustainable, as in it is just stables and the rest isn't in place. No farm, no toilets, no tap room, none of the rest. I'm not sure I could reject it on the visibility display when highways are accepting it, but I do agree with what's been said. That does sound slightly strange. But I would say it's not sustainable because of there's no existing car instead.
Obviously, when you're dealing with a planning application, planning policy is the main two planning consideration, and therefore you, that's the first document you go to. They are a guide to the design and a guide to the way you you look at and assess a planning application. Obviously, in this instance, what I would do is I do have a duty to bring your attention to the fact that in relation to the points you've been made. Making it says all development in these areas should, where appropriate, feasible. Now, it's for you to make the decision whether or not you agree that this is a location for a stable block. It's saying the policy does say where appropriate and feasible. There isn't an association with a farm because it's not a farming use. It is a private stable to be operated as a state, as a private operator. It's not a commercial undertaking. But obviously, that's for you to make that decision whether or not you agree that you, as Councillor Toby said, consider this to be an appropriate location for this. If you consider it to be an unsustainable location, you're completely entitled to do that if you think it is in that position that is not sustainable and will generate the need for travel. So that's a clarification on that, on the policy, which is quite important because it says where appropriate and feasible. If it's not appropriate or feasible, then those wouldn't apply and you'd have to just assess it as do you think it's a good location for a stables and a menage in the countryside location? And that's for you to make that decision. Obviously, the officers have assessed what they think it is an acceptable location, but obviously, it's in front of you and it's within your gift to make those decisions. This is why you're here.
But if I understand Councillor Trowbridge right, you're concerned with the fact that it is a standalone site without any access to any, and that is your main reason for objecting to it.
I could bring up lots of reasons here. When I walked into the county buildings today, I heard one of the objectors say, "Did you have to go the long way around? Yeah, it was bloody, we couldn't get through." This whole area, and then I did ask Councillor Smith, was this area flooded today? He said, oh yeah, it floods all the time. So why would a stable block be put where it floods? That is absolutely, it doesn't make sense. If you go further down on that policy E2, it states to make sure it's the most appropriate place on the site. How is that the most appropriate place? Where it floods. Why isn't it further up the side? Why is it only 1 hectare that they've looked into and not the whole 4 hectare, which is where the horses will be on the whole site, won't they? The whole thing just doesn't click as true. There's something being hid from us and I don't like that.
Okay.
No, please don't. Don't agree. I don't like it.
Thank you, Councillor Trowbridge. In fact, I was just going to jump in before we started and just to say that in terms of the highway reason, we obviously have had an independent highway system carried out. They are accredited highway engineer, and that's been assessed by the highway team. So, in fact, you're entirely correct that trying to all if members were minded to object to this on highway grounds, we would have a problem with trying to get an evidential base because it is a very objectively assessment with an evidential base, which means it's very difficult for us to counter that on an appeal. In terms of the clarification, in terms of the area, the application in front of you is the red line. That's what's being applied for. In relation to the rest of the area of the site, raising horses isn't an equestrian use, it's not a material change of use. You can graze horses on any bit of agricultural land. It doesn't constitute a change of use. It's when you link it to an equestrian use that you have the material change of use taking place. So the reason they've not put the whole site is because the rest of the site is for grazing of horses. That's the clarification. At the end of the day, the application in front of this is that red line, and that is what we're required to determine.
Really? I don't understand that. Councillor Kane, Kieran?
It seems to me, Mr. Chairman, that there are more questions than answers on this application. And as such, I would find it very difficult to approve it, because there are so many if buts and maybes in there that I don't think it would pass muster.
Okay. Well, we do have a... Sorry, is there a point of clarification?
Forgive me, Mr. Chairman, Councillor Smith raised his hand.
Oh, sorry, I didn't see that.
In respect of the areas which... In respect of the area which is designated for equestrian use, I heard what the response was just, but what about that gate that I also mentioned? It's in the application, it's at the top left-hand corner. If that gate is going to be used, then that should also be part of the equestrian use, change of use, making it more than 1 hectare, making a flood risk assessment necessary.
Yeah, you should only be getting clarification.
Well, I am clarifying, because you're missing the point.
Councillor Farrington.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I also have a point of clarification. A representation has been made about the highways assessment, yet it seems to me, on any objective basis, that you've heard from a number of different people that the area floods. It would therefore be impossible to travel at the 60 miles per hour speed limit that's designated in that area. And indeed, having gone up and down that lane many times myself, I would challenge anybody to drive at that speed. And so whilst you have a report, and the committee of course are entitled to take that into account, I suggest that you measure the cogency of that report against the representations that you've heard around the room as to what in fact actually happens on the ground when it rains.
Okay, thank you. We have a proposal for rejecting this application, which has been seconded. Do you want to come back?
Yeah, can I just add something in, that if you're going to go back and look at this in any other way to see if there are any changes, a flood risk assessment does need to be done. We can insist on a flood risk assessment, even under a hectare, I'm sure, if we feel there's an issue in the area. So I would like to add that on, because I know what these things are like. They come back slightly changed, and we don't find it.
You have a reason for refusal. If you are saying, I just need a bit of clarity from yourself, are you saying that you're refusing on the fact that there is a lack of a flood risk assessment?
No, the bit that I'd like to put in is that a flood risk assessment should have been achieved on this site purely on the grounds that it is obvious how often it floods. And so let me think how I'm putting this. There is always an option to ask for, yes, it doesn't need one because it's under a hectare. there's always an option to ask for one as well if you feel there's a need. So I feel that that is something that should be into it, that if the planning application should return to us changed in any way, that a flood risk assessment is achieved.
Do you have another point of clarification?
I'm obliged, Mr. Chairman, for you allowing me to speak. The representations have been clear about representations concerning a gate which takes it beyond the 1 hectare hectareage, if that's the right way of putting it, and on those circumstances a flood assessment would have been required.
Okay. May I make one other point, Chairman? You cannot allow this to go ahead with the proposed surface dressing of the menage. It is not in accordance with the Environment Agency. If people want to look it up on Google now, they can do. It's the Environment Agency, RPS248, and it will tell you that you cannot use that surface. Okay, come up with a condition, but you can't use it.
Okay, I understand that. Can you?
Personally, I'd rather not add that in, because that's an environmental issue, that's not a planning issue. So I prefer not to put that in my...
Can you clarify your proposal in relation to this application?
Okay, then I'm going to refuse this on it's not sustainable according to E2B.
Yep.
There is no existing farmstead and other facilities, or other facilities, hence not making it viable. And I'm also going to refuse it on, let me see how I do this with the flood without making this an easy turnaround. That if the whole area was taken into consideration, a flood risk assessment should have been achieved, showing that this is in the wrong place as it floods.
As we said already, the application sign is the red line, so it picks up.
But we have heard that in the application they talk about a gate that is outside the red line. You wouldn't talk about the gate if it was outside the red line. Hence, it is slightly more than the hectare stated.
The existing gate serves a paddock, which is contiguous with the area of the site. So what they've done is they've highlighted the area where they are applying the sort of change of use of the land. That's an existing access point, but it doesn't form part of the planning application. It is a point of planning that they're not applying for change of use of that land. Whilst the access can be, it serves the paddock, and that's one of the access lives in the paddock area. It isn't the actual serving the actual application site.
More clarification?
Mm. If you look on page 4, the clarification is there at the bottom of the paragraph, which says the application site. But it says, and a further strip along the northern boundary of the western part of the paddock would be utilised to provide access from an existing gateway in the northern corner.
Okay.
Clarification on that point. There are two ways of dealing with this. If you are minded to believe that actually that area of land does form part, and in fact actually under the provisions of the legislation where the application is making reference to an access, then the red line should extend to an access point. If they are specifically saying that the application is being served by that and that is part of that, then in fact we would be able to go back to them and say, well, you're picking up an additional area of land if that's where your access is being drawn from. That's that's not happened. Okay. So the clarification is here that you can either answer the application to be deferred.
No, refuse it. No.
The application can be, if you wish the application to be deferred, for us to refer it back to them, asking them to extend the extend the red line to the road, and then bring it back, then get the flood risk assessment if it in fact takes over the line there, and you can then bring it, then it will be brought back with the flood risk assessment if it expires over 1 hectare, and allow them to address that issue if that's what we're saying, that we believe that it picks up that additional red or alternatively you refuse it on the grounds that you wish to, but with the one reason, but it's not applying for it, that's not the actual application site, it's the point of clarification. I think if you are concerned that it isn't picking up and it hasn't done the progress, then the right proper thing would be to ask it to be deferred for us to take it back to the developer.
Okay.
But your proposal was to reject this application.
My proposal is still to reject it, but I want to add in, because how I read this, it ends up more than the hectare because of that gate in. So a flood assessment should be done, so I'm rejecting it on that the flood assessment hasn't been done. I'm also rejecting it, it's not sustainable, and E2B, because there's no existing farmstead.
E2 is the first one that you mentioned.
Yes, and I still stay with that.
Come back, I'll let
thank you.
I'll go.
At the end of the day, Councillor Berkovich, if you're putting that forward as a resolution, I think if that's what members wish to do, you've obviously heard what I've said about the procedural side of it. It is within your decision. You know, this is your planning committee. I'm not here to assist you. And if you wish to make that decision, that's entirely up to you. Obviously, you've proposed that now, so we're clear about what those reasons are, or one reason is with the added bits to it in relation to E2, and therefore that's for the members to make the decision on.
Okay.
Thank you, Chairman. Might I suggest we just stick with the one, the E2, because it is not by an existing forester, and just put the reason for refusal as that and that alone to save complicating issues.
As you were the proposer, are you prepared for that, or are you allowing an alternative?
Mr. Chairman, I would rather have a vote on my proposal. If the members choose not to back me, then we can come back at somebody else's proposal. But I do think, especially after hearing today about that all being flooded, that the flood risk assessment should have been done. So I would like that to.
Okay, so I'll put your suggestion to the vote. And those, that is,
do you want to say what it is? Table it?
Yes.
So we're talking about 3-2 plus a flood.
E2.
Plus a.
E2B makes it not sustainable, and it needs a flood risk assessment as this site floods where stable.
So that is the proposal that has been made by Councillor Trump. Sorry, Councillor Godfrey.
I don't know what I'm voting on, Chair. I mean, we've got a reason for refusal. Fair enough, I can take that. But also, we're asking for a condition on a future application. Is that right?
No.
Can we be very clear what we're voting on?
That's why I was just seeking clarification, because obviously any subsequent application coming in, that would need to be resubmitted. And if we were to go for a recommendation for refusal and that would pass, then the application would be refused. And they could then either go for an appeal, or alternatively they could resubmit with a flood risk assessment. But that's why I sought clarification from Councillor Trowbridge which you first mentioned.
How's
that
appeal?
Mr. Chairman, just before you go to that vote, I would prefer going to keep it with the one,
yes.
The sustainability. I think the flood risk assessment is a, not spurious, but it could be countered by them simply submitting a flood risk assessment. So I would prefer that we went with the sustainability argument.
Professor Trowbridge has made a proposal. That proposal has been seconded. There are two parts to that proposal. One is to do with the points 3.2 as well as in relation to those in favour of that proposal put forward by Councillor Trowbridge, indicate please.
One, two, three.
Okay, so now we go to Councillor Newton.
Can you take a vote on who's against the proposal?
Yeah.
Who's against that proposal, sorry? Nobody's against it.
Abstain. One, two, three. So it's 3-4 and 3 abstain.
So it's down to you, Chair.
Okay. You're working just on the first one of Councillor Trowbridge's, which was 3-2.
Just for clarification, Chair, we've got a vote where 3 have accepted the recommendation, 3 have abstained. So it's not that vote not carried anywhere.
That's correct.
That vote's not carried.
Of course it is.
Chairman, you've had two people.
Abstentions. They don't count as. But they're not against. There were no votes against. But there were none against.
None against.
None against. The three were abstained.
It is
tied.
The motion is carried.
Because there were 3 in favour.
That motion is carried because there were 2 in favour. Okay. Thank you.
There were none against.
This is the second image.
This is the bell image. Plan 1 shows the proposed site plan at the top and the location plan at the bottom. And Plan 2 shows the proposed floor plans and elevations. The application site is located within scope, which is listed as one of the settlements in the settlement hierarchy and the spatial principle 3 of the plan for Sackville Borough. And as such, the principle of residential development is considered to be acceptable on this basis. The proposed single-story site extension would be subordinate to the main dwelling, as it is a single-story site extension to a two-story dwelling. The extension would not be larger in floor area than the existing garage and carport that it is to replace. The proposed extension would differ in appearance as a pitched tiled roof is proposed in lieu of the existing flat roof. Due to the extension being significantly lower in height than the host dwelling, it is not considered that an undue terracing effect would occur as a result of the proposed extension scale or total height. The extension would be constructed in matching materials to the host dwelling. The proposed pitch roof would add all the matting to the dwelling, which is adjacent to the island. However, there are no windows to the side elevation of two islands, and as such, there will be no resulting loss of light outlook or overbearing impact on occupiers of two islands. The proposal meets the requirements set out within the plan for Sackville Borough for parking provision at the application site, and no objections were raised by the highway authority. In conclusion, the proposed additions and alterations to the application property represent an appropriate and sustainable development, and as such, is the proposal is consistent with relevant local and national policies. Thank you.
Thank you. We have an objector, Mr. Andrew Ward.
Yep. Good evening, committee. I'm Andrew Ward. I actually live next door to the people that are applying for planning permission. Thank you. I have very strong objections. Visual and meaning to number 3's extension, the pitch roof goes front to back. Surrounding extended properties have flat roofs or pitch roofs that follow the lines of the main roof. Number 3 will actually stand out visually. Stone Town Council on the 19th of January, their objection says negative impact on the street scene, changing a link detached and coherent appearance of the properties. Access. Deeds state we have access to the side of our house and roof at all reasonable times. This extension denies that. All houses in the cul-de-sac have the same right of access to the walls on the roof. We do have a legal right of access. We respect our deeds, so how can the council ignore them and sweep them to one side? The extension will leave a gap of 4 inches between their new wall and ours, stopping all access to the side of our house to carry out any inspections, maintenance, repairs. Also an objection by Stone Town Council, again on the 19th of January. The small gap between the walls causes an air dead zone or a dead air space, making the walls damp due to no airflow between the walls, meaning the walls will never dry out. My job is in ventilation and air movement, and a flow of air will not pass between the two walls, and this has been confirmed and agreed by an architect. A simple task such as cleaning debris from the gutters and the gap will not be possible. Journeying onto our property, the extension was called a demolition of a garage and proposed single-storey extension to the side. No, this is a flat roof removal and an extra wall to be built. Their extension will create a semi-detached house for us. Small or no gap between the property affects people's idea of what the property is. It will devalue and make our property more difficult to sell through no fault of our own. The extension's new floor will bridge our damp course, causing serious problems of damp for us. The closeness of the wall and the joining on of their roof will cause damage to our foundations and property. The party wall agreement will not be signed. Due to the closeness of the new wall, I've been told to expect house insurance problems. There will be loud noises, heavy vibration during the construction, which will last months. rear access for fire and rescue will be denied due to this extension.
Can you close now, please? Begin to close.
Sorry?
You're coming up to your three.
Yeah, I'll come up to the last few points here. Their house now has been put on the market as of the 30th of March, within the last few days, and it's up for sale with Tinsley Garner. So if they move, the problem will occur for us. This now means it's probably been a waste of time for Stafford Council, Stone Town Council, the Planning Committee, also others and myself. I urge you to reject this application. If you lived at number two, you would object. I feel that the application is unfair, unreasonable, disrespectful and wholly disproportional. Thank you very much.
Thank you. You've exceeded your time. We have a note from
a supporter, which I will ask Andrew Bailey to read out.
Thank you, Chair. This is from Mr. Jamie Holding, who is in support of the application. He writes, due to work commitments, I am unable to now attend the committee, but could the following written statement please be read out? Good evening, members of the committee. We believe there is no reasonable reason why a planning application should not be approved. The reason it was called to this committee was that the development will impact heavily on the visual amenity of the Highlands in a detrimental manner. It's clearly not true. The only visual change is a pitch roof instead of a flat on the existing structure, and in comparison to the other house in the Highlands, particularly number 1, 4 and 6, who have had numerous extensions, our plan is very respectful. The only current change to a property from its origin is the carport is now a garage, confirmed by definition, whereas all other properties in Highlands have had numerous extensions, conversions, porches and conservatories added. All other objections are either factually incorrect or not planning issues. For example, access to the roof for maintenance will still be available. It is a garage, not a carport. Potential damp issues, this is not a fact. The roof flashing will not touch the neighbouring property as per the plans. It will not give a terracing effect as we will be detached from the neighbouring property. Other objections included comments not allowed by the planning process, such as financial or legal concerns. In the wider Pye Hill estate area, there are also numerous garage conversions and pitch roof extensions. Therefore, our plans meet all building and planning regulations, as the planning officer's report and recommendation shows. Thank you for your time, James Holding.
Thank you.
Chairman, could I just point out that that is the applicant, not a supporter?
Is that correct?
It is. It is the
right.
Applicant.
Councillor Hodge. You've got 5 minutes.
Thank you. Could you put up a photograph of the guy at the ladder for me, please, just so people get the idea of how maintained. There we go. Highlands is a quiet cul-de-sac of 6 uniform linked detached houses. Number 1 extends to the right-hand side and is barely visible from the road, with number 4 discreetly extending out to the back, which also can't be seen from the front. The officer's statement, page 18, reads, uniformity of the dwellings has been somewhat eroded. This is not the case, as currently the visual appearance of the houses is one of linked detached properties. The proposed pitched roof and gap between the two houses will alter the street scene's overall character and appearance, having a detrimental impact on the front elevation of those properties. Page 20 of the officer's report, Policies and Guidance, supports the application, quoting policy N1 of the Stafford Borough Plan, paragraph space section I, which states, to strengthen the continuity of street frontages. The proposed pitch roof running front to back will break that visual continuity of street frontages. Plus, there'll be a 4-inch gap running down the side of number 2, which no other property in the cul-de-sac has, Is policy A1 the correct policy to use? I don't think so. Page 20 lists Stone Neighbourhood Plan, H2, Housing Design header. New development in Stone must deliver high quality design. This is not new development. Can it be categorised as high quality design? One section of the Stone Neighbourhood Plan which I consider important is well-being. The importance of well-being and quality of life for Stone residents was made very clear during the public consultation. Mr and Mrs Ward have carried out general maintenance of their property on a regular basis since day one, and they see it as their right to get to all areas of their home. Imagine how it would feel being unable to access an area of your own home. The effect on their mental health and well-being will be unimaginably wearing. A wall being built next to their house with only a 4-inch gap, which will be impossible to clean, with leaves, litter, dust, bird droppings and general debris blown into the gap. It will soon settle, getting wet, and there's not enough air circulation space, and eventually and inevitably will cause damp to the property. The penetrating damp will spread quickly through the porous material of the brick, plaster and wall insulation. And once the damp is in the wall, it will spread to other parts of the house, not noticeable until dark patches begin to peer inside. On page 22, consultations, it quotes Stone Town Council's objection as, "The Town Council objects to this planning application as the proposed development will have a negative impact on the street scene, changing the linked, detached and coherent appearance of the properties. Missing from that is," it carried on to say, "a side extension in place of the carport, not garage, will also be an unnecessary incursion on the neighbouring property with an insufficient gap between homes to enable maintenance." The new local Stafford Borough Plan preferred options, policy 32, states, "A development will not be permitted which causes unacceptable effects on the residential amenity of neighbouring occupants. This application will cause unacceptable suffering to those neighbours. The applicant intends to take down his carport roof and build a new wall. Since the applicant moved into number 3, they have been sharing the external side wall of number 2 as their internal wall to their carport with no problems.
We've got a minute left.
Both neighbours have abided by their deeds, which very clearly state that access must be allowed for maintenance and repairs when required. This was something which Mr. Ward had concerns about when he was buying the property. His concerns disappeared when it was pointed out to him that in his deeds it states he will always have entitlement to access the side of his property to carry out general maintenance. I'm hoping that will continue. The applicants have put their house on the market. It's described as an excellent value for money, detached family house, tucked away in a quiet cul-de-sac location. The house occupies a pleasant position, a super house in a great location." Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
I'll ask the Manley to come back and then come comments on that. Leadership. It's really important at this point to recognise that there are certain elements which have been discussed tonight which fall outside. Particularly reference to deeds, and my colleague from the legal department may jump in if necessary. When we're talking about Party Wall Act and access to maintenance through deeds, those are civil issues that sit outside planning. And if the owner of the property has concerns over these, then they need to pursue that outside the planning process. It's not part of the planning process. So the maintenance of the property and the connection to it, or lack of connection, or the width of the gap, and the deed saying access and maintenance, that is something that they will need to deal with outside of the planning process. What is in front of us today is the application which we've been asked to determine. That's the proposed plans about, which shows that there's basically an existing garage
garage show the carport with a flat roof over is being removed, and they're going to build a single story side extension with a pitch roof over. That's what is in front of us to be determined. In terms of whether or not you consider that to be an appropriate form of development, and whether that has an impact upon the street scene to a point where you consider it be sufficient to warrant a refusal, that is for you to make a decision. This is what's in front of you. In terms of the issues of as I say, the civil issues, the detached nature or semi-detached nature, those are not main considerations. What we're here to do is to determine the planning applications to be applied for, which is the one shown on the plan. And that's with you now after this discussion.
Would you comment on the 4-inch gap that was mentioned?
Again, it's basically what that's referring to is that they put an application in to pull the wall back. That's entirely within their, that's what they can do as part of the planning application. Again, it's the maintenance issue of whether or not that's contrary to the deeds and not preclude the maintenance, which is what the neighbour is objecting to. That is not a material planning consideration, that is a deeds issue, it's a civil issue between two owners of the property. The application in front of this is the one to be determined.
Chairman, could I
clarification?
Yes. I think your use of pull the wall back is incorrect. They're not pulling the wall back, they're building a completely new wall. Point of clarification.
I stand corrected, thank you. Yeah, it is in fact a new wall being built. At the moment, the serving cross and connecting in. So it is a new wall being built, and obviously they have raised concerns from a deeds perspective in relation to that.
That's
excellent.
Just to clarify, in support of what Simeon's just said, that committee can only consider this on the basis of what are material planning considerations, and that can only be refused or on that basis if they were minded to.
They were minded, it needed to be specific planning reasons.
Yeah. Yes, you can't consider any civil...
That's still a different course of action.
Yes.
Councillor Nixon.
Thank you, Chairman. On page 18, it says, the side elevation of the property will adjoin the side elevation of number two. Well, if there's a 4-inch gap, it can't be joining it. I was assuming they were just going to have a change of use for this area. Because where it says, it actually says adjoin to the side elevation, so I assumed that wall would remain intact when I read this. But they weren't going to knock it down and build one 4 inches away. Have you seen the future?
You, yeah, I think this is the point that the Councillor Hood was wishing to make, is that it's actually there isn't a wall there at the moment because they're using the wall of the neighbouring property, and that's what's being maintained. What they're doing is actually taking the roof off and basically building a new wall 4 inches in off that wall of the neighbouring property.
Precisely, so it won't be adjoining.
No, well, two. It's just the passing, but not joining. You're entirely correct. I think that the issue here is we need to be very clear about what the planning issues are, which is the actual whether or not what's being proposed is considered to be acceptable from a planning perspective. And obviously, in relation to that, there are concerns being raised about by Councillor about the visual impact of the proposal on the street scene and introducing a feature which is considered to be inappropriate and out of character. That's clearly a planning reason. If that's what you're minded to think, that's a planning reason to refuse the application if you were so minded. But the planning balance you must manage is whether or not that development as proposed is so sufficiently harmful, or in fact does cause harm to the visual appearance of the street scene or to the character of the area, that it would warrant a refusal. and whether or not that would be sustainable and appeal. And obviously that's a very subjective thing, and the reason why we're here is for you to look at that. Officers have looked at it and said, we think it won't happen. It you clearly see it, but we don't think it's sufficient warrants and refusal, harms and warrants and refusal, but that's for you to make that decision.
Thank you, Michael. Now this is not adjoining the name of the property. There's something I didn't look up, was the policy about space about dwellings. Should this 4 inches an adequate space between dwellings as far as planning is concerned?
Are you referring to the old space about dwellings document, which doesn't form part of our planning assessment anymore, because we now have the design SPD that's from 2018?
Whichever's appropriate. I was under the impression there was guidance or rules about space between dwellings.
We have guidance about distance between windows, garden sizes, things like that, in terms of amenity, but in terms of distance between dwellings, that isn't something that we have guidance on.
Just to clarify, we have obviously have design documents which we use in when we're assessing planning applications, and what the officer is saying is that's now not included within the doctor's supplementary planning guidance in relation to design, so we don't have that design distance issue anymore as part of our consideration, and therefore it's been superseded by the more recent document.
Councillor Trowbridge?
Thank you.
One question. Would this be permitted development, or does it need planning permission?
Seeking clarification, my colleague is confirmed that during the life of the application, when the application was first submitted, it was actually did require permission because of the height structure. However, the officer has done a quick assessment, and you must remember this is not the officer's application, she's presenting on behalf of another officer. She believes that having just assessed it, the height of the structure has reduced it to a point where it is likely, or she believes at this moment in time, it may actually be permitted development. Now, under the early legislation, even if an application is permitted development, right, if an applicant puts an application in and asks us to determine it, we are actually obliged under the legislation to determine that application. So the application in front of you is the one being determined. However, from what the officer's assessment is saying, it's likely that there will be permitted development. Subject to my colleague.
Just for a quick assessment of that, obviously I haven't got the points of legislation in front of me, but if it isn't PD, it's very, very close to permitted development, what would be allowed?
Actually, I don't think you can answer my question then. You're submitting this on behalf of another planning officer, but I was going to say, did you not have a conversation with the applicant to see why you couldn't adjoin to the neighbouring property instead of moving a 4-inch gap?
Yeah.
think the answer is that the applicant has put the application in not choosing to, and that is the application is now in front of us to determine. Obviously, it is, you know, they've obviously done. I don't know why they've chosen to move away from the wall and build a wall slightly off. But that's entirely up to the point. In front of us is the application to determine.
Chairman, could I just ask, please? Can you give me a point of kind of clarification that when the officer who I've spoken to asked the resident to reduce the height of the roof, we were then led to believe that the roof would be touching the neighbouring property. And because, are you telling me that because the officer's not here who determined this, that then we don't really know?
The officer made the recommendation, obviously it's for the committee to determine the actual application, so this is a recommendation. I think the point about if it's touching the neighbouring property or not, the point about it is the application that's in front of us actually does show what's on the plan, and from a planning perspective, we need to be careful that we're not going down the road of getting into the deeds issue and the impact upon the neighbouring property. And we need to keep it to the planning considerations, which is assessing what this actual building, this proposed development looks like, and whether or not there are grounds for refusal of the application, or whether or not we wish to determine the application that's in front of you and give it an approval.
And it is to approve. Okay, anybody else want to make any comment? So those in favour of approving this application, please indicate.
One, two.
Those against?
Two. One, two, three.
Four.
One abstain.
Oh, and abstain. And you're abstaining.
Yes, just a bit.
Two abstentions.
You haven't voted.
No, it's been carried.
It's been carried.
the vote slots, because there's three against, and that she will vote.
It's back to debate.
Yeah,
it's back
to debate.
No, I
think on balance the argument is that Councillor McKeown put forward is acceptable, and I would support that.
Okay.
So where does that leave us?
It wasn't carried, so you have to go back to the debate now.
Okay.
So someone else has to put a motion forward.
So we need another motion.
I'd only got two for, to be honest.
Yeah, two voted for, three voted against, and then
two abstentions.
But you didn't take Gareth's vote.
He's not obliged to.
No, I have voted now.
If you want to vote, you have to take the vote again.
You have to take the vote again.
Okay.
Is he not obliged? I don't get that. So the chairman doesn't get a vote?
We do vote.
Yes. So we'll redo the vote and I will participate. And those in favour, please indicate.
Of
approval. Of approval.
That's one, two, three. That's three in favour. And then against?
Those against?
One, two, three against. Take abstentions,
and
Chair.
Abstentions?
Two abstentions. So the vote at the minute is 3-4, three against, and is the chairman's casting vote.
Casting vote, Chairman?
I will support the proposal.
That's four.
Therefore, it's approved, Chair.
Yeah. Thank you. Can we now go on to the appeals, which shouldn't take very long? So do you want to take us through these? We're now looking at page 27.
Yeah.
authority to make the decision in relation to that, and actually the decision's now being issued. Very good.
You must be pleased.
I'm very pleased.
Thank you very much for your attendance.